This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stewart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Man, let's greet each other. Give everybody a hug, fist bump, whatever you're comfortable with these days. Well, we had a good start for our pumpkin patch yesterday. Let's give the Lord a hand. Sold 263 pumpkins. We would like to sell out, and with that in mind, the Lord laid on my heart this morning, if you're here today, today only, this is Blue Light Special, if you go in, we'll take $1 off if you get a pumpkin this afternoon. Tell them you were in the service, show them your bulletin. We're going to have some proof here. Some people are listening outside of us. Show them your bulletin, and they will take $1 off your pumpkin. And for those of you that are volunteering, a couple of things. If you need, we have orientation for using our iPad for charging, and we're going to set a journal out there on the table. And if anybody gives above the price of the pumpkin, say they're buying a $13 pumpkin, and they say, "Here's 20, keep the change." We want you to, the $7 difference, write it into our cash journal, because that's a donation to our ministry. And we don't have to report that money to the pumpkin providers, because it wasn't the purchase of a pumpkin. Do you see what I'm saying? And that will increase our net from this, because people are being very generous. They're rounding up and everything else. And so if you're working at the tables this week, and we do need some more people to sign up. There's a sign-up sheet over here, and I want to encourage you to do it. And then all of you that are volunteering, share Jesus, share our church. Tons of unchurched people. One guy came on a bicycle, and he came and he bought a pumpkin, and then he left his bicycle on the sidewalk, and he said, "I can't ride carrying a pumpkin." So he set it on top of a post near the entrance, and said, "I'll be back later with a vehicle to pick up my pumpkin." So all types of people coming by. But share your testimony. Be open about Jesus. Let's talk to them about Jesus. This is a ministry opportunity. And we're going to provide, we're going to have our extra sales out there. Give them a sale. Invite them to come worship Jesus with them. Let's get them into the body of Christ and disciple them. Can I hear an amen? So all of you volunteers, be aggressive with that. This is a great ministry opportunity. In my life group today, I told them this is an opportunity to witness and to share Jesus, to pray for people. While I was there, there was two young women buying pumpkins. One of them's grandmother was sick. One of them's boyfriend was not doing well at all, and I had the opportunity to pray for them, really bless their hearts. And so ask them anything I can pray for you about, and can I share my testimony with you, and just, you know, really be open about Jesus with that. Next thing, air conditioners. As you know, we voted a few weeks ago. Jim Durkin, chairman of our finance committee, led us in a vote to replace the air conditioning for the sanctuary, $120,000. And so that's slated to happen within the first week and a half of November. So but before Thanksgiving, we should be back in the sanctuary with air conditioning. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. We didn't want to spend all that money. As you know, our goal and plan is to relocate within the next 5 years or so. And but we have to live where we are now. And along with that, we've got three units, two here and one in the other building, smaller units that have gone out, a 10-ton, 6-ton, and a 5-ton. And the total of those three in the proposal was $43,764. So I came in Friday morning, my day off, and I came in and negotiated with the owner, and we knocked it down to $41,500. So a savings of $2,200. That's like another tither, $2,200. Let's give the Lord a hand. But if you're listening by radio, or if you're on YouTube, Facebook, or whatever, we really don't make very many appeals. And if you're listening on radio, I've ran into some of you said I've been listening for 7 years, 9 years, 10 years. One guy was 13 years to us on the radio. We normally don't make an appeal, but if there's someone out there, if there's 41 of you that would like to send $1,000, we would love to have it, and it'll make us cooler while we're sharing Jesus with you. Or there could be 82 of you that want to send $500. There might be one of you who sold some cattle off his heels that wants to give us $41,500. Please send it immediately. First Baptist Church of Stuart, you will get tax credit, okay? So take care of that. Help us. Help us lift this heavy air conditioning load. We'd love it. And so we've got these other things. Now, I want to share with you, Wednesday I went and visited Nick over at Solaris in rehab, and he was not doing well. And he was having trouble eating. They were feeding him with a fork, and he was having trouble swallowing and all of that. And he said, "Pastor, pull my bed up as high as you can." So I did the control and got him at a 90-degree angle. And I said, "Y'all need to stop feeding him. I think he's struggling with it." And he shook his head, you know, yes. And so prayed with him. At first, Nancy, he was lethargic. She couldn't even wake him up. I've been taking bags of popcorn and pouring it outside his window so squirrels and doves and blue jays and all that can eat outside his window. And I had just dumped a big thing of popcorn, knocked on the window, couldn't wake him up. She was inside, couldn't wake him up. I said, "I'll be right in." And so I have that effect on him, and he got wide awake. And then he was showing me his exercises and doing a lot of stuff, you know, and he was rolling again. And before I left, I said, "I'm going to bring you a church directory. I want you to," he's been a phone animal, and I said, "I want you to call everybody, and when you finish the directory, I'll give you $100. And of course, he would have done it for free. He lives for that. And he said, "When you bring in the directory," and that was Wednesday evening, walked Nancy to her car, and then I got a call midnight Thursday night. Nancy was just crushed and said, "Pastor, your buddy died." And Nick went to be with the Lord 10:45 Thursday evening. Massive heart failure. They rushed to congestive heart failure. They rushed him to emergency and weren't able to revive him. And so Nick is with Jesus. Kim wet her pillow that night. I mean, I've been thinking Nick things. I shared at his retirement dinner in here that outside of Kim, I've slept with Nick more than anybody in the world. All over the world, I've heard him snore, he's heard me snore, you know, mission trips and everything else. And the memorial service for Nick is going to be Friday at Forest Hill. Viewing for us is from 10 to 11, and the memorial service from 11 to 12. And then we'll have a fellowship dinner here for the family, for Nancy and the family, immediately following. So that's this Friday, if you want to make a note for that. And Kim, we sat down on the love seat right after Nancy called, and Kim says, Nick is so happy now. You know, he's full. He's 100%. He's 33-year-old again in a rejuvenated, glorified spirit body right now, but he will have his physical body back later. And, you know, but I've been thinking about Nickisms. I mean, the world is not the same, at least for me, and I think for a lot of y'all, without Nick in it. And it's kind of like one of those, like a Billy Graham thing for me. He used to say, you're Billy Graham and I'm George Beverly Shea. And so now he's in heaven. He and George Beverly Shea are worshiping God together. You know, he probably maybe standing beside him, you know, worshiping Jesus. But I just want to give a tribute to a super godly man who loved Jesus and will be greatly missed. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And I'd like to share with you, we've also got our senior luncheon for this month, Tuesday. Tim O'Carroll is the director of missions for Treasure Coast Baptist Association. He will be our speaker. And we will again have one of the greatest in the world as our special music, Darren Snipes. And we're still trying to get him to sing. How many of you like to hear him sing at the luncheon? You got to work on one, Darren. We want to hear you. You know, we want to hear your voice. Make a joyful noise. You want me to sing with you? No, I don't think so. That'll throw you off. But so we've got those things. If you're our guest today, please fill out the little form here and turn it in so you can connect with us. And if you're a senior, take this luncheon thing home with you. Put it on the fridge, hand it out to an old neighbor, and let's get a bunch here. Our studies are again tonight. We're 2 weeks. This will be the third week in, and I really want to encourage you guys to come, even if you haven't been coming tonight. We're looking at our love for our earthly fathers and how our earthly fathers affected us in our worship of God now. And for some of you, I think it might be very therapeutic. And for others, it's just an opportunity to rejoice in the great dad that you had. And so I want to encourage you to come take part of that. And our ladies, the ladies can still come to the ladies, absolutely. And then you'll need tables again at the end of the service. They know. Do y'all all know we need tables at the end of the service? Mario knows. See the handsome Hispanic man, and he will help you get the tables up. So we've got that coming too. Thank you. God bless.
Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this day. Father, we want to thank you for just being the privilege of just being in your house and being with your people, Father. And we just also want to just lift up a prayer for Israel, Father. Your chosen people are again under siege, Father, and they can be helped only by the things that you can do for them, Father. And we just, Father, we just also just want to just ask that you just bless these offerings. And Father, we just want to just make sure that they're just used to spread the good news that you have for the people, Father. And we just ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, praise team. Let's give them a hand. Praise God. And thank you, Rick, the other handsome Hispanic man. We do want to release our children for Children's Church, and I want to remind you again about the memorial service. It's Forest Hill, Palm City, which is on Map Road, just to remind you so you don't go to the wrong one. There's several branches around, and want to encourage you to, and again, the reminder, we're having a fellowship luncheon immediately following the committal service, so there'll be the viewing, the memorial service, the committal service, and we'll come back here for lunch. And the family is catering it for us. It's something they're doing for us, which is really unusual. Usually we do lunches for folks, and they're doing it for us. So we praise the Lord for their kindness to us as well. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn with you to Colossians chapter 1. And I want us today to look at the totality of Christ's supremacy, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how supreme he is, how powerful he is. And we're going to look at several aspects of that, attributes of that, and the preeminence of Christ today. Next Sunday, I'm going to go ahead and speak on Israel in prophecy, and talk about at least my perspective on what's going on over there now and how that fits into the future. And so I want to encourage you to come and take part in that with us. Invite others. If you have people asking you questions about that, invite them to come, and we'll look at that together. So Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. And he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created for him and by him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. It was interesting that we see this. He goes on and says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind and engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you to his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless beyond all reproach. I'd like to encourage you, if you got a pen or pencil, to go through and circle all the alls. This is, how much is all? All is everything. All is all. Years ago, I had one of our Southern Baptist evangelists, Bill Stafford, come in, a Tennessee boy, country evangelist, highly sought out. He hilarious when he spoke, and yet extremely convicting. And he was known as the Sweet Jesus guy because he used to sing Sweet Jesus. He sang worse than me. And I'm not going to sing it, but, you know, it's Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You're brighter than the morning star. And he would just sing it and go on. And he sang it, I think, almost every time he preached. And that's really exciting. In fact, they say Billy Graham, every sermon, his entire life, all over the world, every one of them went to Jesus on the cross. The cross of Christ and the Lord Jesus. And so today we're going to look at some aspects of this. And first of all, in verse 15, we're going to look at the primacy of Christ. He's prime, number one. In fact, in Scripture it says he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That's an alphabetical version of infinity. The Alpha, the beginning, the Omega, the end. And it's infinity in both directions, and that's the Lord Jesus, the primacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him all things, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, all of God. So when the Lord Jesus was here for those 33 earthly years on this planet, during his earthly ministry, his developmental years for 30, 3 years of dynamic ministry, the entire time, every person, when he was a baby, laying in the manger, when he was a baby being carried by Mary. It was all the fullness of the Godhead in a baby form, in a preschooler, a toddler, as he was a young child, a young boy, a teenager, a young man, the fullness of God in bodily form. That is an amazing thing. One of my favorite nights of my life was when I had one of the great Bible teachers named Ian, and he came and spoke. I heard him speak, and I invited him to come back to my college dorm at Liberty. And he came into our room, and a bunch of us got in there and asked him questions. Major Ian, I can't think of his last name now, but senior moment. So Thomas, Major Ian Thomas. And he was sitting in a room, and he was just winding us up in circles. And he was asking all these questions. And he asked us, he said, does God know everything? Yes. Was Jesus God? Yes. Did Jesus know everything? And of course we said, yes. And then he said, well, then how does it say in the Gospels that Jesus increased in wisdom and knowledge and favor with God? If he knew everything, how did he increase in wisdom and knowledge? Can God die? Did Jesus die? Is Jesus God? Yes. Did Jesus die? Yes. Well, then what happened there? And it was exciting. It really stretched us and got us thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God. Here he was in a baby form, and he was not laying in the manger speaking every major language of the world. He wasn't even speaking Hebrew or Greek yet. And so here he was in the manger as just a baby, goo goo gaga, you know, whatever. Whatever his first words was, Abba, which would have been daddy for Joseph or whatever. And then as he was growing, but we know at 12 years old, he pretty much had come to full circle, because here he is at the temple in a visit to Jerusalem, and he's asking the priests questions and answering their questions, and they are marveling at this uneducated, lower rank carpenter's son who knows all these things and is responding to him. Are y'all hearing a beeping, or is it just me? Is it a hearing aid? Is it this mic, Jim? No, I don't think it's you, Winnie. Am I about to blow up? You know, I've got to chase this rabbit. Years ago, I was on a date, and we didn't have cell phones, but my dad, I kept coming home late. We went to the drive-in, and I had a pager. Dad had a pager. Well, nobody had pagers back then. And when he rang it, I was supposed to come home. Well, I got out to go get popcorn. We were double dating, and the thing started going off under the seat. When I came back, my date and the other couple were standing way away from the car. And they said, Daryl, it's about to blow. There's something ticking in there. I said, it's my dad's pager, you know. So anyway, that has nothing to do with Christ. And I promised him I wouldn't do that, but I did it anyway. I'm sorry, Lord. But we see the primacy of Christ. He is the representation of the invisible God. God come in the flesh. Secondly, the agency of Christ. Verse 16, if you'll look at that with me. For by him all things were created. How many is all? Everything. Everything was created by him. The universe, both in the heavens, earth, visible and invisible. This includes angels. And I've debated in my own mind. I've read debates about when were they created. And I do believe that they were created at the same time as the earth, and then Adam and Eve in the same time frame. The reason is because on the seventh day or the sixth day, when God finished his creations, he said everything is good. So at that point, so was Lucifer, so were the demons. They were good. And then we see in chapter 3 of Genesis, they had fallen between Genesis, the end of Genesis 1 and the beginning of Genesis 3. So visible and invisible, even the angels, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. He is the agency of Christ in the heavens, on earth, visible, invisible hierarchies. And then he's got in here all other things, everything else, all the rest of it. Jesus created it all. Jesus is the creator. God said, Son, you do it. And he did it. And now we have an ever-expanding universe, and Jesus created it. So he is the agency. Then we see the supremacy of Christ in verses 17 and 18. And he is before all things. 18. He is also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have the first place in everything. Firstborn of the dead, the first permanent resurrection. Were there other resurrections before Christ? Yes or no? Yes. What about Lazarus? Lazarus was resurrected, but he died later again. There's no Lazarus running around in the Middle East. And then we see resurrections in the Old Testament. We also see additional resurrections in the New Testament. But Jesus was the first permanent resurrection. And that's why when Nick graduated 10:45 Thursday night, in spite of losing really one of my best friends on earth, like a second dad or older brother, we were able to rejoice because he's with the Lord Jesus, he's like Jesus, and he's won. He's graduated. And someday each of us, if Jesus tarries, will take our place, unfortunately. And that's one of the saddest parts of being here for 31 years is to see loved ones go each in their time as we go. Nick and I used to debate about who was going to do whose funerals. I mean, he was always saying I was going to do his. Do it, Daryl, Pastor Daryl. Win them to Jesus. Go after them. And I said, well, I might go before you. You do mine. I'm not. You're not going for me. He'd say, I'm going for you. And of course, I guess he was a prophet. So we see the supremacy of Christ. In chapter 2, verse 10, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. We're complete in him. He's the head. Then we see the sufficiency of Christ in the second half of verse 17. And in him all things hold together. Years ago, I went on my first mission trip. Our granddaughter Clara is going on her first mission trip Thanksgiving week to Guatemala. My first mission trip was to Guatemala when I was a newly saved teenager. Shay, our daughter's first mission trip was Guatemala. Well, we had gone to Guatemala. We're flying back. We're on the plane. Mackie Pittman was a buddy of mine, and he and I were sitting together, and right across from us on this international flight was a Catholic priest. And when he came on, he had a little carton, a cardboard carton, a four-pack of scotch, bottles of alcohol, scotch. I guess the priest really liked the scotch. And so he had, and you know, back then you could take that on the plane, and he put it, you know, I think he kept it under his seat. He was guarding the scotch, I want to tell you. So Mackie, I began to witness to him, because I witnessed to everybody. And so I'm talking to him about being born again, giving your heart and life to Christ. And he said, well, there's a lot of debate about that, about what chapter 3 of John talks about and born again. And I said, well, let's get out our Bibles and discuss it. And he said, well, my Bible is in the cargo hold. And I thought, you should be carrying your Bible instead of your scotch. And so I got my Bible out. I opened it to John 3. I began to go verse to verse. And I started talking about Jesus. You must be born again. And that's where Jesus, you ask Jesus to come in your life as the covering for all your sins, the only thing you need, his death on the cross. That's all you need, and a personal relationship with him. And as we're talking, he said, well, in what light do you want me to discuss John chapter 3? And I said, brother, any light you've got. And so we're talking, and finally he gets tired, and Mackie starts sharing his testimony with him, and finally he gets tired of us talking to him about Jesus. And he said, Jesus, 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 is that all y'all talk about? Now this is a Catholic priest. And here's what Mackie said, and it fits right into this verse. Mackie said, I play baseball in high school. I love baseball. I've started for 2 years on our high school team. And I love to hit a ball. I love to catch a ball. I love to throw a ball. And so the guy's starting to relax a little bit because now he's talking about baseball. But then Mackie hooked him. He said, but I just want to tell you something. If Jesus didn't hold that baseball together, it'd blow all to pieces. Jesus is holding everything together. Jesus is holding it all. And he goes, oh my gosh, Jesus again, you know, with a baseball. And in actuality, in subatomic science, when we look at the most basic element, we've got negative and positive. We've got the neuron, electron, protons. And if the things that are swirling around, if you take two ends of the same charge of a magnet and push them together, the strongest man here can't push them together. The magnetic field is too strong. They repel. Two positives repel. Two negatives repel. It's interesting that our basic molecules, the atom itself, with the charges that surround the neutron, electrons, and protons, they, being the same charge, should push themselves apart. And science knows this, and you can Google it and read a million pages about it, that they say it is a mystery to them, and they refer to it as like a mysterious force that holds the atom together. I'll tell you what that mysterious force is. Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Jesus Christ is holding that together. He is the sufficiency. And we see that in 17b, the second half of, in him all things hold together. He created it, and now he says, I want to prove how absolutely powerful I am. Every atom in the universe is being held together by Jesus Christ. So we see the sufficiency of Christ. Then the totality of Christ, verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. God said, I am going to allow all the fullness to be in him, in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the totality. I love this saying. In fact, I want y'all to repeat it with me, that Jesus is the source, the force, and the course of all life. Okay, let's say that together. Jesus is the force, or the source, the force, and the course of all life. He's the beginning. He's the force that holds it together and gives us direction and guidance. And then ultimately, he's the course with the destination in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all of these things together. And then verse 20 through 22, we see the capacity of Christ. If you'll look in verse 20. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth, things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile and engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless beyond reproach. The capacity of Christ, his ability to reconcile all things to himself, everything. And it's exciting when I was in seminary to discuss these things with our professors. and to see their insights. And I had a brilliant British professor who shared with us, we serve a generous God, a gigantic God, a limitless God. And with his son Jesus, unlike some views of theology that Jesus did not receive one strike too many, he did not drop one drop of blood more than was necessary for the election of the saints, the elect, to be saved and to be covered. And this great theologian said, no, in Colossians, we have a generous God, a God who says, I'm going to show you generosity. There's no limit to my son's death. There's no limit to the pain he suffered. There's no limit to the sacrifice he made. He's not just going to reconcile humanity to himself. He's going to reconcile the entire creation to himself. All things, everything, and the whole universe will be reconciled to Christ. And this is the Christ we serve, the Lord Jesus Christ, the powerful Christ, the name above all names on earth, the coming reigning Messiah. We're going to look at that next Sunday and in relationship to the Jews and Israel. And I just want to encourage y'all, let's put Jesus forefront in our lives every day. You don't know it sometimes. I don't know it sometimes. But every day we're working on our resume for heaven. Every day. There'll be this memorial service, and it'll be a privilege and a joy to talk about Nick and to share his walk with Christ. It'll be an exciting time. I've done funerals for scoundrels to saints and everything in between. And then at some funerals, you kind of preach them into heaven. They profess Christ but lived a lukewarm life. Some of them just live wicked lives. I've struggled with one of those. I just said, I don't know where he went. I don't know if he went to heaven or hell. If he went to hell, here's what's going on with him today. If he went to heaven, here's what's going on with him today. And I had to go that route with one of them, a murderer who murdered a member of our first church and died in prison, a wicked man. But I would like, if I have the privilege or some godly pastor has the privilege to do your memorial service, for them to be able to get up and say something that everybody already knows. I mean, whatever I say about Nick, it won't give him justice. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Whatever I say, you could say he could have said more. And I am going to still tell some stories on him because that was the glue of our relationship, part of it. But I want to encourage you, Christ in the center, Christ first, Christ in your life. And as couples, Christ, the three of you, not the two of you. And put him in and let him in and add him to your daily walk and your daily relationships as you're living. Let him have the primacy of your life. Let him be there in the very center. We used to tell our children growing up, we'd ask them, who does your daddy love the most in the whole wide world? They wouldn't say Kim. They wouldn't say my mother, my parents. They'd say Jesus. Who does your mother love the most in the whole wide world? Jesus. Even now, I'll be kind of cajoling Kim a little bit, and I'll say, who do you love the most? Jill. Jesus. Okay, who do you love second? You know, but we need to put Christ first. Put him at the center. Put him right there and live for him. Because ultimately, and some of you can testify here today, your partners will leave. Your children will leave. Some of you, unfortunately, have had your children pass before you. And ultimately, everybody around us, we're all in this tentative position, and we don't know when. But putting Christ first and letting him be the center of it all is what it's really all about. Can I hear an amen? I want to ask you if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, I'd like to ask you, Are you ready to go? Do you really know Jesus? Not do you say you know Jesus, not do you hope you know Jesus, not do you think you know Jesus. Do you really, really know Jesus? I mean, when you leave here, do you think about him during the week? Does the reality of Christ in your life enter into your living relationships? If you're not sure, or you know that's not the case, it's Jesus while you're here and nowhere else. You need to change that. You need to let him in. You need to open the door. You need to have a personal relationship with him. And I'd like to invite you, if you would, right now, to say, "Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and forgive my sins. Thank you for dying for me. I love you, and I will live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen." We're going to extend our invitation and want you to do business with God. Maybe he wants you to be a part of our fellowship, this body, and it's time for you to join. God does want you to join a church. Maybe you need to follow him in believer's baptism. Maybe you have a prayer request or a need you want us to pray for. Whatever the case might be, let's stand together and you come. I want to remind you again about our senior luncheon Tuesday in here at 12, and want to encourage you to come. Take this and place it on your fridge as a reminder. Hand it out to a neighbor, and want to encourage you with that. We do still need some people to sign up for the pumpkin patch, so I want to encourage you to do that as well and take part in that. And if you want to get your pumpkins today, they were in the field 4 days ago, 4 days ago, 5 days, 4 days ago. They're fresh, and show them, whoever's cashiering today, your bulletin, and they'll take a dollar off. And just want to encourage you with that. And then, again, the memorial service, Forest Hill, Palm City, on Map Road, Friday at 11. And so I want to encourage you to come and take part in that with us. It'll be a celebration of a great man and a great life. And want to encourage you to come and do that. I think that's everything for now. The pumpkin patch is open at 2 o'clock today. So you cannot get your pumpkins until 2. And God bless you. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, this is Mark Hennebach, and here's an additional message from Pastor Daryl Orman.
Now, when you look at this passage, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, there's a lot of all-encompassing things. I want you to take your pen or pencil and run through it with me. In verse 18, all authority, circle the all there, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And then verse 19, go therefore make disciples of all nations. And then down in verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. There's a lot of total terminology here. There's a lot of total references here. And so we're just going to hit through some of these real quickly. First of all, he has all authority. Jesus has it all, and it doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. In fact, it says, it describes our nations of the world right now in the Psalms. It says, the heathens, the nations will boil and the heathen will rage and try to cast off
the rule of God's Son. It doesn't matter. Jesus Christ, the resurrected, incarnate Son of God, has all authority on heaven and earth. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. That it's not connected to polls or opinions or anything to do with simple humanity. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords of everything. So does that mean that there's any nations of the world where it's illegal to talk about him? Well, they may try. But he says, you're to go into all the world. You're to go everywhere. With all authority, go everywhere. Now, here's some backup verses, a couple of them, for his authority. John chapter 12, 47 through 50. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I didn't come to judge the world, Jesus said, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. That's God the Father. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Jesus has all authority, and he has all authority because he's under authority. He's under the authority of God the Father. One of our Wednesday night devotions, we talked about that, being under authority. And the greatest faith in the New Testament, the centurion, he said to Jesus, you don't have to come to my house to heal my servant. Just say it. I too am a man under authority, just like you. If I say to my soldiers, go, they go. My servant, do this, he does it. If you'll just say it, Lord. And it said, Jesus marveled at him. He had not seen such great faith in all of Israel. If you have trouble trusting God, where are you at in submitting to his authority or authority in general? God can't use donkeys. He uses sheep. God can't use stubborn people. You can't tell them anything. You can't teach them anything. They're arrogant. He can't use them. Can't use us like that. He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. John 17, if you look with me there, verses 1 and 2. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind. Hindu nations, Buddhist nations, Muslim nations, the Jewish nation state of Israel, atheist nations, communist China, socialist Russia, African nations, all over the earth, he's given him authority over all mankind and to all whom thou hast given me, he may give eternal life. And then we're to go everywhere. And that's in our verse as well. He said, I've got all authority. Go therefore. Based on the go therefore. The therefore is I've got all authority. Now because of that, you go. And years ago, one of our mission trips to India, India has thousands and thousands of villages, towns, and cities that don't have a single Christian church in them. Not one. Not a Catholic church, Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Church of God, Assembly of God, Charismatic, Pentecostal. Nothing. Nothing. No Christian churches. So years ago, I thought, what if all of our people, I mean, just for, even from our church, and we were a lot larger then, but what if we started helping our people when they get their 2 weeks of vacation during the summer or whatever, help them go pick out a village in India and fly over there with their family and just go hand out gospel tracts and witness while they're on vacation. They would plant seeds of little churches in places that have none. We did one of our mission trips to the village of Babat. I had two even evangelistic rallies two nights in a row. They built a little stage in the town square area. I shared the gospel the first night. We had several dozen give their life to Christ. The second night, over 100. And before the second night, I led the mayor of Babat to Christ, a Sikh businessman with the turban and the sword, a real Sikh, not a Muslim, a Sikh, and led him to Christ. The whole time I preached the second night, we started with the mayor sharing his testimony. The whole time I preached the second night, the Hindu temple priest was ringing the bells of the Hindu temple to drown me out. They couldn't hardly hear me. Muslims standing, glaring at us down the wall. Sikhs with their swords standing near the back. It was a pretty intimidating place. And then afterwards, they quieted down. Our team was the choir, and they were praying. And they heard the invitation clearly, and over 100 gave their life to Christ that night. Before we went there, a village of 36,000 people had one old Christian man, like a 80-year-old man, the only Christian in the entire village of Babat. And when we left there, that night, the mayor said, I want to have a reception for all the Christians in the courtyard at my house, a walled-in courtyard. And there were like 150 packed in there. And they're telling me now, I'm hearing from people, some of our Indian friends there, that is a thriving church, running hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, sharing the gospel through that whole region. And that's just one two-day trip. But what if we thought, and we really believed it, that he has authority over all of humanity, all mankind, everybody? And we said, you know, I could do that. We can go. And you say, oh, it might be dangerous. I want to tell you something. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I have never felt the presence of God stronger than when I was in India, when I've been in Haiti and some rough parts of Haiti, rough parts of Mexico, when I've also been in Guatemala, some of these places, Pakistan, sensing the presence of God so powerfully. I'll tell you this, and it is, whether you believe it or not, it's true. Every one of us are immortal until God's through with us. I mean, if it weren't so, the devil would kill us all today. Every born-again believer on earth would be extinguished today. He's a murderer from the beginning, but he can't do it. He doesn't have the authority to do it. And when you step out and you say, I'm just going to say yes, Lord, and do whatever you want me to do from here on out, it is incredible what can happen. It is amazing what can happen. So we go everywhere, reach everyone in the go everywhere. He's in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Power from God, from the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen the difference when I've tried to witness in my own flesh, my own intellect, my own arguments. And I've seen the difference when the Holy Spirit is bearing me along and I'm sharing. It is so convicting, so powerful, and it's exciting. Your mind is illuminated. Verses are coming to you that you never even memorized. Illustrations that specifically go to that person. And it is incredible to be being borne along by the Spirit of God and sharing Jesus. And sometimes it goes to odd places. I was visiting one of our families in one of the gated communities. And I pull into the gate. And the security guard's this young guy. I didn't know at first, but a young single guy. And he said, so you're going to visit this family. You're Pastor Orman. I said, that's right. They're members of our church. I'm going to see them. Can I come to your church? That doesn't happen a lot. And I said, absolutely. In fact, you must come to my church. And he said, well, you know, I'm a believer. And I said, are you married? He said, no. I said, you need to come to our church. I'll hook you up. We'll get you a wife. And he started dying laughing. He said, you don't hear that every day. In fact, I've never heard it before in my life. And he said, where is this church? And so I told him, Yellow Church downtown, First Baptist Church of Stewart. And so when I'm leaving, he walks across the booth to come to the exit side. Normally that's automatic, you know. People just, whether you're a resident or a visitor, the gates pop open and you leave. He comes across and he says, I'm going to come see you. I work a lot of Sundays, but I'm coming. And I got his name, address, email, phone number, so I can bring him up to date on stuff. And he said, have you ever heard of Tim Tebow? I said, I love Tim Tebow. I've met him before and talked to him. And he said, well, I've got a great book by him, and I've been doing a Bible study in my apartment. And a couple weeks ago, I led 5 guys to Christ using that book. I said, so you're a soul winner. He said, yes, I am. I said, you've got to come meet your wife at our place. You've got to come. We'll find you a wife, you know. Come on. And so we just laughed, and he said, I will see you. And I gave him one of our Wednesday night certificates. I said, come eat dinner with us, you know, and this sort of thing. But you can have fun with it. You can interact. It doesn't have to always just be, let's quote the verses and let's go to town. You can go different places with it. But we're to reach everyone for Christ. 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9 gives us direction on that. In 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9, it says this, and some people use this as a chronograph, like a, this is a scale of how God measures time. And it's not actually...
This is Pastor Darrell Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.